Thunder win it last night against the Blazers, and I thought one of the better performances we've seen from Oklahoma City. Things just continue to go well for the Thunder. Dusty, that's a pretty impressive accomplishment. I mean, most of these triple-doubles have come with ease. Last night wasn't with ease. It didn't happen, you know, just to me completely organically, but still, it's an impressive accomplishment by Russell Westbrook.
I'm not going to say pretty impressive, Mark. I'm gonna ratchet that up a notch. I'm going to say it's unbelievably impressive. You pass Wilt Chamberlain on an all-time list. You're doing a lot of things right. So congratulations to him. 2 years ago, it was the big O. He passed for triple-doubles in a season. He joined him as the only person to, you know, average a triple-double for the year. He's going to make it his third straight. Now he passes Wilt Chamberlain for most consecutive games. It's unbelievably impressive what he's done, and he still didn't shoot it great last night, but he found a way to get people involved. And you're right, they were definitely forcing it a little bit late in the game, which I was fine with, but congrats to Russell. That's quite the accomplishment. I did think he continued to play pretty good defense, which was good last night. Paul George, Mark, that basket must look like the ocean right now. I mean, he can't miss. I mean, that dude, the confidence he's playing with right now, Mark, I know the saying is, you know, you couldn't throw it in the ocean. Well, this guy can't miss, Mark. I mean, he just, everything he throws up, he is so smooth. I mean, we hear Michael Cage call him, you know, smooth criminal. I don't know if I feel okay about calling Paul George a criminal, but he's extremely smooth with the basketball. And I got to tell you, man, he is just playing on another level that, like I said yesterday, I didn't know he was capable of. And the moment you think that he's playing at his peak, he just outdoes it. And last night might have been as good of Paul George as we've seen. 17 to start the game, 18 to close it out in the fourth. I mean, that was – I don't know how much better he can play than what he did last night in a 47-point triple-double.
I mean, look, he's averaging 39.7 in February, along with 8 rebounds basically and 5 assists. And he's doing it on 47% shooting from behind the three-point line. So – that's even up from where he was in January. Russell's numbers are way off in February. I mean, they're literally worse than his numbers in December, which was one of the worst months of his career. So, I mean, it's still happening out there. I think Russell has got to find a way to start shooting the ball better. But the way that he's facilitating and distributing, last night was an outlier on his assist total compared to what it's been in the games of February, where he's been, you know, routinely at 14 assists or more. So the Thunder offense has reached a level of this season where I did not think it could be. Did not think it could be. Let's hear real fast on the chemistry of this team. First, let's hear from Raymond Felton, who had a big game last night.
Chemistry is probably one of the best I've ever seen. You know, everybody likes each other. It's like a brotherhood. It's like we a family. And we all have each other's back on and off the court. And that's hard to find. That's hard. And, you know, when you got your two superstars on your team that's connected the way they are. You know, them two are like brothers. So when those two are at that level, you know, and they're connected with each other like that, it's easy for everybody else to follow in suit, you know, and that's really big. Their relationship kind of just trickles down to everybody else.
That's huge, Mark. I'm going to tell you what now. Chemistry is real. I believe in locker room chemistry. You have to have talent, but bad chemistry in a locker room can – you know, it can negate quality talent and great chemistry. It can allow talent to flourish. And I think that's what we're seeing right now. And, you know, Ray Felton was so good last night. I did not expect to see that. Good for him to step in and play as well as he did. But I think what he was just saying there at the end is extremely important. And the relationship between Russell and Paul, Mark. I mean, they really do seem like they have grown to be very close. And, you know, Paul and Russell Westbrook, he talked about that after the game.
Man, listen, when you have a connection with somebody in this locker room or your brother, it's not just what it is. For me, it's not. None of this is forced. It's not. Let's try to be closer if everybody else can be closer. It's natural, man, and that's one thing about guys in this locker room. We love each other. We have each other's back regardless of what's going on, and we all want to see each other do well, and that's the most important part.
You know, it's convincing. I don't know why it's taken this long to find that kind of chemistry. I think for last season, the free agency to be hanging over Paul George was a little bit of a distraction to him, for him to be playing this comfortable, but it's been contagious, not only for those two guys, for the superstars, but I think for the role players as well. When we asked the question last week, is who's the most improved player on this team, and you can get different answers from different people. I mean, I think that says a lot about what's going on with Oklahoma City.
Totally agree. And, you know, I don't know how you feel, but, like, Paul George is the best player right now on this team. I don't know how anyone could argue that. He might be playing as better than anybody in the NBA this season. But I still think this is Russell's team. I still think Russell's the alpha and the leader of the team. But I don't think that those two get caught up in that whatsoever. You know what I'm saying? There's not this struggle or this fight for whose team this is. They just seem like everybody kind of understands their roles and everybody's bought into that. But, I mean, I think Paul George is the best player, but I would still say that I think Russell is and will be the alpha on this team. And I think Paul George is okay with that. I think Paul George probably maybe even wanted that. He had never had that in Indiana, and he probably really enjoys being around a guy like Russell Westbrook, who's got, you know, who is the type of leader and the type of player that he is.
Well, I think, though, that it's got to be difficult, I think, to figure out how to get to Russell. You know what I'm saying? I mean, he seems like that he's a very intense guy. I think he's kind of to himself, in a sense, away from basketball, is that he's not one of the guys that I think is going to hang out a lot because he's got a family. He's married. He's got kids. He's got three kids now. And so I think relating to him has been tough at times for different people. Clearly it was tough for Reggie Jackson. I think it was tough at times for Kevin Durant. But George seems like he's a guy that's kind of got it the most. I also think, man, I really think that I hate to come beat on this guy like I have a lot, but getting Melo out of that situation I think has helped this team a ton. Because it was so manufactured that they were trying to get him shots last season, and they were trying to do all this stuff because everybody deferred to him and felt like he was a superstar, kind of a legend of the game, older than the other players in the locker room. And I think he's got a good personality, and I think everyone wants to see him do well. And they were trying too hard to create stuff for him. I mean, he's just not good enough to play in an NBA roster anymore. And especially a team that's competitive that values possessions because he has to stay out there and defend. And so I think having him gone, these two guys can kind of just concentrate on not only making themselves better, but getting better looks for everybody else on the team rather than trying to manufacture stuff for Melo, who was still kind of selfish in his own way. He wanted to stop the ball, you know, wanted to shoot shots like old Melo did, and that stagnated everything else around him on offense. So I think him being gone is a big part of some of the development of this team.
Addition by subtraction. I think that was, you know, we talked about that before the season, and it's definitely – played out that way. What do you think of Deonte Burton, man? Is this a guy that you think that, I mean, it's been, you know, big game against Houston, big time minutes. Billy Donovan trusted him there. Now against Portland, obviously, with a short bench with a couple of guys being out and Ferguson getting early foul trouble. But he plays 26 minutes last night, Mark, and he was fantastic, knocking down threes early. And I really like his strength and physicality and the way he can finish at the rim through contact.
Dude, he's... The interesting part about him is what does he do well or what does he not do well? Maybe a better question, because he can handle the ball. He is a big guy. He's not a traditional NBA body, you know, where he's lean and athletic. He doesn't look anything like Amadou Diallo, but he can shoot. He's not bad on defense. He can handle it. So, again, I think Billy Donovan has to figure out a way of how is he going to work him into the rotation? Who does he come in and sub for? Or is he a guy? I mean, he was one of the first guys off the bench last night.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the Thunder have such a highly specialized group of players. You got Ferguson on the wing, you know, Grant defense at the four, spacing the floor, and all those kind of things. Whereas I don't think Deonte Burton has one skill that he brings to put him into the rotation. But I don't know. It might be too valuable just to keep him off the floor at times. I mean, he really is playing great.
Energy, productive. He's been a nice little addition. What's his situation with the Blue? At what point do they have to declare him? Have we gotten to that point?
He's only played in 19 games, Josh. What's the amount when they?
It's 45.
Okay, so he's going to. They have to have him on the roster by the 1st of March, or he has to be on the roster if he wants to play in the playoffs. Is that right?
No, he can play in the playoffs. He'll be eligible with the playoffs no matter what. You have to have him on your team. Like, that's if you sign a free agent.
Okay,
you have
right,
to have him
right.
by March 1st. So a two-way player, yeah, you can convert at any time, and they can play in the playoff roster.
So they will convert him at the time when he's played his 45 games, which he won't reach this season.
Hey, by the way, one thing I noticed. Did you notice last night, Steven Adams? He needs a little bit of a rest. Did he look a little bit sluggish to you last night?
Well, he only had one rebound, maybe? So that the box score speaks volumes there. That guy's ankle is almost popped in half how many times this year? And I don't know how he's still walking. I don't even know if rest is going to help it. I mean, like from day to day, is it just terrible or sore? I mean, why is it worse tonight or last night than it would have been, say, any other night? It's crazy that Nurkic had such an ineffective game last night, while Steven Adams wasn't necessarily at 100%.
He just looked like he was laboring up and down the floor.
I agree. I don't know. I would hope that, you know, 5, 6, 7 days might be enough for him to rest, but the Thunder absolutely have to have him. I mean, he's huge.
Yes, they do. And they're playing some great basketball right now, Mark. 11-12. Go to New Orleans on Thursday. Chance to make it 12-13 as they hit the All-Star break. Anything else from the association or last night's Thunder game stand out to you?
Nothing from last night's. Nothing really more from last night's Thunder game. I mean, I think we touched on it all in the 11 o'clock hour. But James Harden with a flurry of late points to keep his pursuit of Wilt alive last night.
Paul gives it back to Harden on Finney-Smith for three. Got it! The streak continues! 31 points for James Harden. That's 30 straight games now. 120-103 Houston.
Dude, I know he has it a lot, but 30 straight games of 30 points or more is pretty stupid as well.
It's incredible. Only short of Wilt Chamberlain, number two in the history of the NBA. And that's flat out getting it done. And, you know, he kind of has to do it every night, right? It's like, you know, he's going to have the ball in his hands. You know that he's going to be doing high usage. And you really can't stop him. So he's been incredible.
That streak to me is equally as impressive, or maybe even more so, that he can do that. So beat the Mavs last night. Mavs did the Thunder a favor by knocking off the Blazers. Tonight we got Celtics, Sixers, no Kyrie Irving for Boston. So I would think that the Sixers would get that done at home. Utah and Golden State is the late game on TNT. One of the few tough road tests left on the schedule for the Utah Jazz this season. So I think if you're Oklahoma City, you probably are rooting for the Warriors in this game, or it might be maybe no one's rooting for the Warriors, but it's probably beneficial to see Golden State win that game for your spot in the standings.
Yes. So are you excited all about the All-Star festivities coming up over the weekend?
I'm a little excited about it. I think that I would rate it, Dusty, at a level of 6.8 on the must-viewing scale.
I think I'm probably as excited to see Hamidou Diallo in the and the dunk contest, I am anything.
I'll watch that.
I think he'll have a chance. That dude can elevate.
Trae Young in the skills competition?
Absolutely. Yes. Be highly entertaining. I think at this point I get as excited about the Saturday night before the All-Star game as I do the All-Star game itself.
Saturday night's pretty fun of All-Star weekend.
Yes, it is.
I like the game too, though. I mean, I'll watch the game. The game will be fun to watch.
I'll watch. Yeah, I'm sure I'll watch some of the game. You know, it's been such good times in Thunderland that I guess it kind of masks a little bit of what's going on in Soonerville. Another loss last night for Oklahoma, Mark. This season is it's not getting turned around anytime soon.
Yeah, I would not have expected them to win the game. They were in it last night, and it kind of slipped away on this possession.
Mason from the left elbow. Offensive rebound, Gillespie going back up. Monster offensive rebounds on the last two possessions, and here's the last one. He just gathers and says, I'm going up with this thing, I've earned it.
I don't think you can say what, I don't know what good you can say about the basketball team right now. Very little confidence. They've lost 5 games in a row. Some of the tougher games in the league are still coming up on the schedule. And I don't know what they do to try to get this fixed. I mean, it's got to be, you know, serious concern. They got to go back on the road on Saturday. They got to go to Iowa State. Kansas comes to Norman. They go to Kansas State. Five wins in the league. If things went well, maybe they could get to five. But, I mean, it might end up at 4-14, which that's two out of three seasons that it's been
epically
horrible numbers. In a conference. So, look, it's not at this time. Like, the Big 12 is competitive, but the Big 12 teams in the landscape of the country's top 25, they're nowhere to be found.
Right.
I mean, the OU's not – this isn't like one of these deals where –
well, they're to be found in the top 25, but there's none in the top 15, really.
Right? That's what I'm saying. I mean, in a league that's got that much balance in it, that you can't even achieve the level of balance, which is win your home games, maybe try to sneak a road win in and stuff like that. And so, you know, West Virginia's been really, really good, really consistently very good for Bob Huggins. They've taken a step back this year. And I think the nature of college basketball is that it's very transient. You're gonna have transfers. You're gonna have people leave the program. Cam Agusti left the program. He went to Miami. I'm sure they could use him this season. The roster construction at Oklahoma is very bad. They do not have an inside game. Hans Paula. I like the fact that the guy is 7 feet tall, but that's a recruiting miss if he can't play. I mean, they literally have a postman, and if you can't put him out there, then I don't know how you've missed. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you need to have some depth there. But this is a run of, without Trae Young, I don't know what would have gone on with this group, because they haven't had any guys to develop. And I get the way they played with Trae Young last season. I get the fact that Trae Young, I think, was showcasing for the NBA some at the end of the season, but he's still a lottery pick, so make the most of it. But this team just simply has not utilized what it has, it's just been kind of there, and that's not good enough.
Christian James has been – he has really dialed his game back in conference play, Mark. And
last night
he had just a couple of free throws. Matt Meyer brought this up last hour. He has two technical free throws at 3 minutes in a 2-point game. He misses both. I mean, then we just listened to one of the rebounds, give up a couple offense rebounds late. I mean, it's just offensively not scoring. They played pretty good defense. It's just this team unable to find ways to win basketball games. 3-9 in Big 12 play. 15-10 in a season as they lose last night in Waco, 59-53. I'm at Aquascape Pools today right here at the corner of Britton and Eastern in Oklahoma City. Call them at 359-0140. You can schedule your appointment with one of their designers to get your backyard dreams into action. They don't just install a pool. They do the entire backyard, including decks, outdoor kitchens, landscaping, fireplaces, even fire pits. All are on display right here. Beautiful showroom, corner of Eastern and Britton. It's Aquascape Pools, 405-359-0140. Kyler Murray, he's in the news. Everyone's got an opinion. It seems like his stock is soaring. We'll discuss next.
The story there, though, right? Is it Haskins or Murray? Murray or Haskins?
No doubt.
Is it Locke or Murray? Is it
Daniel Jones? Nope.
Daniel Jones, the Duke quarterback, or Murray. So I think
Will
Greer, you're the number two quarterback, you're going to go pretty high. And so, Dusty, the news broke today that Kyler Murray's agent is going to be the same agent as Cliff Kingsbury. Does that have any correlation to the number one pick?
I asked that question to people that would know more about that than me, and I was told that it could. There's really no way to know, but it could. It's obviously... with the audio we heard coming that we played right when, it came out that Kyler was going to go to the combine, and well, really when Cliff got the job, and the audio circulated from back in October when he said he'd take Kyler Murray with the number one overall pick, then he becomes a Cardinals coach and they've got the number one overall pick, and now they've got the same agent. It's very interesting. I'm not going to say just because that happened it's a slam dunk he goes one, but I said to you yesterday, Mark, I think the Arizona Cardinals are a very real possibility at one. And I still think, I mean, obviously this doesn't change that whatsoever. I also don't think it doesn't mean this. I don't think it gives him that much better of a chance, but it is very interesting. It is very interesting. Person actually told me there's really no way to know, but, maybe there's a chance that ownership has already made up their mind.
Well, okay, here's the deal. If the Cardinals drafted... I don't know, whatever. If they draft Josh Rosen and the next year they pass on Joe Montana and they have the ability to take him, then they've made a mistake. But taking quarterbacks in back-to-back years with your first pick is a tough deal. I don't think they're going to get a whole lot for Josh Rosen because I don't think he showed us much of anything last year as a rookie, and he was playing on a bad team, but there's a lot of things there. The ownership of the Cardinals is yikes. Yikes.
Why do you say that, though? I don't understand. I don't understand. Explain it to me.
The Cardinals ownership?
Yeah, but I mean, but it's like, I mean, you're kind of saying that they're, it sounds like you're ready to say they're crazy if they take Kyler Murray number one.
Okay, no, what I am saying is that taking quarterbacks in back-to-back years, home run, it's a horrible, I mean, they've passed on so many good players, that's why they're not very good.
Okay, I understand. I'm just saying, though, but you have to, and this is the same GM, and this GM's on a little bit of thin ice. He's had some off-the-office issues. He had a DUI, and he had a 5-game suspension, so he's kind of on thin ice. And, yes, he needs to draft right, and if you take Josh Rosen at 10 last year and you take quarterback at 1 this year, you better at least get some good value for that previous top 10 pick, and I don't know what that value is. A lot of people like Josh Rosen last year. You know, neither one, me or you, really like for him, but that doesn't mean that there isn't somebody else out there that still would be willing to give up something of value for him. But I don't think that if you're going to, you know, we can debate or argue, was Cliff Kingsbury the right hire or not? That's not really the point. That is who they hired. Therefore, it would almost be foolish to go and hire him and not allow him to get the personnel in there that he needs to run his offense, because that's what you hired him for. You hired him to go in there and put up points and have big-time offense. And if he doesn't think the top 10 pick that he didn't take that they took last season isn't the guy to do that, well, then you kind of be foolish just to stick with that guy just because you drafted him.
Well, I think, again,
you know what
they
I'm saying?
Hired a coach, fired him after 1 year, and then they hired what I think is basically an experiment in the NFL with Cliff Kingsbury. I mean, I didn't like that hire. That's why I don't like, you know, some of the things that the Cardinals organization has done. And, you know, look, the teams that are winning and doing the things in the drafts are the teams that are kind of going out there and, like, what the Colts did. You know, they made a really unsexy pick in this year's draft, and it ended up giving them a running game that got them into the playoffs and a player up front that they don't have to pay for a long period of time. So I'm just saying
But what they do before that years ago? What they do years ago, though?
Well,
they got their quarterback at number one overall, right?
Correct.
They got Andrew Luck. So it's one thing to say, yeah, you have the luxury to go get a Quentin Nelson at 5, right, if you've already got your franchise quarterback. And that's what I'm saying is that if you don't, and he's not on the roster, and whether you think he is or I think he is, but if Cliff Kingsbury thinks that this kid, Kyler Murray, can run his offense better than anybody else out there, and that's the best opportunity for this offense to flourish, well, that may be the guy. You know what I'm saying? Like, they need to – Cliff Kingsbury needs to find a quarterback. It may be Josh Rosen. He may think Josh Rosen's that guy. But I think that, and that's one thing that Cliff Kingsbury's been very good at, right? He's been very good at having, you know, not just being an offensive coordinator, but also working with quarterbacks, getting them comfortable, getting them to flourish. And I think the same will be expected. Again, that's why I said yesterday, the first question the Arizona Cardinals have to answer is Josh Rosen the quarterback to run Cliff Kingsbury's system and to be the guy to run the Arizona Cardinals? I don't know if he is or he isn't, but if he's not, then that's when I don't think it's crazy at all to really take a long, hard look at Kyler Murray at number one.
Well, okay, that's fair enough. Again, if they did that, then the number 10 overall pick in the draft last year, they kind of wasted. I mean, it's hard to project the future for them, but I understand. If you're going to put your faith in Cliff Kingsbury and this is what he wants, then you have to do it. But again, that goes to the issues, I think, more of ownership and the general manager of why the franchise is poor.
If they pass on him, I mean, you and I both agree, it's not like he's going to fall very far, right? I mean, somebody's going to hop up and
this isn't an indictment of Kyler Murray. It's an indictment of the Cardinals taking quarterbacks in back-to-back year drafts. But again, they had a coach for 1 year and they fired him. Would they do the same thing to Cliff Kingsbury if it's an unmitigated disaster this year? So
Right.
That's what I'm saying is I don't know. Look, Kyler Murray, I think, can play in the NFL. I think he'd be good in Oakland. I mean, I think he'd do well in Arizona. But I just think it's tough to take a quarterback in 1 year and then take another quarterback the next year.
It would only make sense for me is if you were able to trade him and get, a decent return for him. And I don't know what that is. I mean, I don't know. Is there a team out there that, you know, had a first round grade on him and they're, you know, somewhere in the middle or latter half of the first round that, you know, would like to get a quarterback. And, you know, for them, it makes sense to make that deal. I have no idea. I don't know. But I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility. Quarterbacks, I mean, again, he's still so young, and he's still so – I think there's still so many questions that, you know, he's still got some value. I don't know exactly what that value is, but I don't think that one bad year in partial duty on the worst team in the National Football League is a complete indictment of Josh Rosen, and it's going to kill, you know, any outlook that other, you know, general managers or teams might have on, you know, his future in the National Football League. But
I would
I
think they turn that first into that first turns into a third for me.
I don't know.
What I would think that Josh Rosen would bring.
I guess it just depends on who's out there, who likes him, and you know, it's interesting. I believe I'd have to go back and look. I think Brett Favre was a second round pick in Atlanta, Mark.
He was.
And he was a disaster there. But somebody in Green Bay won him. They traded a first round pick for him. So, you know, I don't know. We'll see. I don't know exactly what'll happen. But if you, it is structurally, organizationally, and just long term, if you're missing on a top 10 pick and you have to turn around the next year and trade him and get a third round pick in return, I mean, that's a bad situation for your organization to be in. So, yeah, to your point, that is an indictment on ownership and really their ability to – that general manager who's still there, his ability to identify the proper talent that they need.
As much as we don't think Kyler Murray is going to be a bust, if he is a bust and he goes number one overall, I mean, then they've extremely compounded their problem of what they've done there. So
sure. You know, yes, that's fair. There's no question, and that's a very valid point. Does an organization in, I don't want to say dire straits, but in a really bad spot, do they have the ability to roll the dice and take a chance? Because if it doesn't work out, then like you said, they've set themselves that much further back. But you know, there are more certainties than not certainties, but there's an element of risk with every single draft pick you make. So, you know, last year Baker Mayfield was a huge risk. Well, it looks like to this point it's going to pay, you know, pretty good dividends. I remember, I don't know, I've just seen enough players that are surefire, can't miss, and they miss. And I've seen guys that are huge gambles that hit. It goes both ways, you know what I mean? It is an imperfect science, drafting. And I get that you have to try to check as many boxes as you can because jobs are on the line. But this whole notion that if you miss on a pick, that you can go back to your boss and say, yeah, I know I missed and it was an epic disaster, but he checked all these boxes, I don't think they're going to give you a pass. You know what I'm saying? At the end of the day, you have to get it right. Whether it's a risk or whether it's something that seems surefire, I think in those spots, you just have to make sure that you get the right guy. Because
right.
I've heard a lot of people say, well, if you can't take this kind of risk, and if you're wrong, go back to your, you know, go back to ownership and say, well, I know there are all these, you know, these variables, but we still want to take the risk. That boss is going to be just as mad if you go back to him and you still missed on a player, even if he was 6'5", 230 pounds, but he can't throw a lick. You know what I'm saying, Mark? Like, to
right.
me, you just got to get it right at the end of the day. And I think that every draft pick, to a certain degree, comes with an element of risk.
No, that's true. That's true. I think some positions are a little bit less that than others, though. So,
who would you take number one overall? I mean, I think there's some great pass rushers in this class.
There are some great. There's a lot of great defensive linemen in this draft. I mean, and it's tough knowing what that could do for a defense. It's tough. And the Cardinals' defense last season, I mean, they really struggled. They've got some of those guys that they picked starting on defense right now.
If I'm Arizona and it completely comes down to Cliff Kingsbury and what he wants and what he's identified in Rosen, but it'd be hard not to look at one of these pass rushers and take him at number one, because as great as if it's not the quarterback at number one, I'm trying to do one of two things. I'm looking for a quarterback. If I don't have him, I'm trying to figure out how to get to that quarterback, Mark. Okay. Or I'm probably going to try to figure out how to protect him if I don't have a left tackle. Like, to me, that's about as important of three positions I can think of. Left tackle, obviously quarterback, left tackle, and pass rusher, but it's all predicated on the quarterback. If it's not him itself, who's protecting him? And then obviously, how can you affect him with a rusher? And there is a lot. I mean, this draft is loaded, especially in the top end, with guys that can flat out get after the quarterback. I'd say as high level of defensive line talent as I can remember in a draft. It's going to be good. We lose Mark? We lose me? Am I just... Okay, I guess we lost Mark. I'm at Aquascape Pools today right here at the corner of Britton and Eastern in Oklahoma City. Give them a call at 359-0140. Aquascape Pool also designs water gardens, quart ponds, pondless waterfalls. You can see them all on display here at the showroom. They also carry all your pond care items right here. Everything from building your own pond to feeding your fish. It's here at Aquascape Pools, corner of Britton and Eastern in Oklahoma City. Quick break. We'll get Mark back. And we will continue to talk sports on the Monsters of the Mid.
Impressive performance for the Thunder last night. PG continues to amaze. The Thunder have promoted yet another player from the Bulls to the active roster, or the Blue, excuse me, Richard Solomon. Richard Solomon has had quite an interesting career with the Thunder and the Blue. For all the fans that go to the Blue games, I'm sure they know a little bit about him. So that he's going to be on the roster. Now, what makes me wonder if Jeremy Grant will return before the All-Star break. Royce said yesterday he thought he might play.
I know. That was inaccurate. 6'11", 235. He's 26 years old. He played at Cal. He has been with the Oklahoma City Blue. He's also been with the Toyota Alvark in Tokyo. He's been with somewhere I can't even pronounce. He's been all over, Mark. Let's just say that. Back to the Blue and now on the Oklahoma City Thunder. Aside from that, I can't tell you much. Guessing somebody to step in at power forward until Jeremy Grant gets back.
Right. Yeah, I mean, that may tell us something about Steven Adams, too.
Maybe Steven Adams, you think he may sit him down Thursday night?
If it's that bad, Dusty, why not give him a few more extra days?
Yeah, I mean, he gets a whole week off. He can make it through that. But, yeah, you're probably right. I mean, he was hurting last night.
Well, they need him with the second game out of the break is Utah. So I think that's clearly a game in which they're going to need to win or want to win. And I think they might be able to get by in New Orleans. So Anthony Davis continued to play 25 minutes. I mean, is that the way that this season is going to go the rest of the way for him?
Probably so. Yeah. I mean, they're going to have him on minutes restriction.
They don't want to play him at all. I know that. I mean, but they got to play him. The league's told them they got to play him.
Did you see, like, that first night he came back? He got booed when he first came out by the home crowd, and then he made a basket and he gets cheered. It's got to be a very odd dynamic to play in that city right now for him.
I know. I'm sure it's odd for the franchise. I mean, can you imagine that happening here in Oklahoma City, as sensitive as they are to the, I don't think any franchise would be sensitive to that stuff.
Yeah.
Right after the first five games for the Thunder out of there, or the first six games for the Thunder out of the break are pretty tough. Pretty tough.
You got
Utah, Sacramento at home, back-to-back. Then you've got the third and 4 days at, or I guess they got 2 days off, but then they go to Denver, back home against Philly, then to San Antonio.
That'll be a tough stretch rather shoot.
Yeah, they would need to beat San Antonio. So,
no doubt. Hey, I got a couple of NFL topics I want to mention before we depart. One, the Texans they're cutting Demaryius Thomas. I thought that was interesting. They lost him at the end of the year with a torn Achilles. He's due a non-guaranteed $14 million salary in 2019, so that would obviously make sense. They traded for him when they had some receivers banged up. I can't remember what they traded for him. It may have been a conditional pick. So Demaryius Thomas is out, and you would think that when you tear your Achilles in December, Mark, he might play next year, but there's a chance he could miss all of next season at 31. You start to wonder how much the former Bronco and Georgia Tech Yellow Jacket has left in the tank. And also, Mark, been a lot about Antonio Brown this offseason. And, this is on the field, but he is once again asked for a trade. He comes out on social media today. He says, or the picture, it looks like a video of himself. Thank you, Steeler Nation, for a big 9 years. time to move on and forward. Hashtag new demand. So he is demanding a trade. Mark, I am typically not one that says you trade great players, and that's exactly what Antonio Brown is, a great player. But I think it's time for the Steelers to move on, man. I just the fiasco that was last year with Le'Veon Bell, the fiasco that's become Antonio Brown, clearly management, the Rooney family, they're backing Mike Tomlin, and they're sticking with him. We've already heard that they're in contract negotiations on an extension with Big Ben. They're going to stick with Tomlin and Ben. They got to get what they can get for Antonio Brown, because at this point, as much and as productive as he is on the field, I think it's reached past a boiling point. And I don't know if these fences can be mended at this point. I think you got to move
on. Fair enough. I mean, Big Ben has kind of hinted at retirement. The Steelers didn't make the playoffs last year, but I do think they were one of the better teams in the AFC. At the end of the season, they lost some games kind of in a weird way. They gave up the lead to the Chargers. They had that game kind of in hand at New Orleans, had a chance to win that one. And if you can win at New Orleans, I think you can win against about anybody. But there's got to be some thought about just blowing this up. Don't you think getting the most you could get for some guys here to kind of try to rebuild the draft? But what do you ask for if you're going to deal Antonio Brown? What's his worth?
What's his value?
Yeah.
He's got a big contract, but, I mean, depends. I mean, what, Brandon Cooks, I think he got a first-round pick. I think Brandon Cooks commanded a first-round pick, so... Wouldn't shock me if somebody be willing to give up a first.
Yeah. What if you were the Raiders? I mean, they've got a ton of picks. Would you want him?
Probably not. No. Do they even have a quarterback they believe in right now?
No. I mean, they might pick one in the draft. So,
like, to me, Antonio Brown would, you know... To me, he makes it somewhere that they're like just a piece away. You know what I'm saying?
Well,
where maybe there's a
San Francisco is a place where he wants to go, and they aren't bad. San Francisco's got a chance to make a big move this year because, you know, the quarterback injury, they had a key free agent signing injury in the offseason or at the beginning of camp at the running back position with the Vikings running back that they signed. I would say, though, that it's just tough. I mean, it's going to be tough to get a lot of value for him.
Yeah, he's such a good player, though, Mark. I mean, six straight 100-plus reception seasons. I mean, he is – this is going to sound crazy, but you know what? The first thing that comes to mind that would – I think that he could have the most success? New England. Now, I don't think New England wants to – I don't think they want to pay that much for a receiver because he
– I don't think the Steelers would trade him to New England.
I don't think they would either. I'm just saying, though, I almost feel like Antonio Brown needs an environment that's going to keep him in check. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think he's reaching a point of diva that he's starting to become his own worst enemy, and he needs to kind of reel it back in. And I don't know if there's very many headstrong head coaches or organizations with a foundation that can do that outside of them, because that has to be a worry if you bring him in, right?
Yes. He definitely has to be.
He's an unbelievably talented and productive player. But I would just say, again, I'm typically the last person that says you trade a player of that talent. But I think if you're Pittsburgh, man, you kind of have to. You kind of have
to. What about Indy?
Ooh, match him up with Andrew Luck. Yeah, him and T.Y. Hilton, a little 1-2 punch. That could be interesting. I mean, I don't know. I think it'll be... I'll be intrigued to see what the market out there for Antonio Brown is. I mean, nobody's been as productive over the last six seasons in the National Football League than that dude. And I believe he just is coming off. I'll have to look it up. If it wasn't his career high in touchdowns, it's right there close to it. I mean, he had a great season last year. I'm here at Aquascape Pools today, corner of Britain and Eastern. Great place right here. Call them at 359-0140, and you can schedule your appointment with one of their designers. Going to get your backyard dreams into action. They don't just install a pool. They do the entire backyard, including decks, outdoor kitchens, landscaping, fireplaces, and fire pits. Aquascape Pools, corner of Britain and Eastern. 1 o'clock hour, we'll take your phone calls. We got Jake Trotter coming up at 1:25. We'll get all the ons going in the Big 12. But time to talk to you if you'd like. 460-9957, 460-WWLS. We'll take your phone calls next on the Monsters of the.
I don't know. I'd like to see a math equation on the his body mass getting up as high as it does. That's pretty impressive.
Very impressive. Absolutely. All right. Want to take your phone calls. 460-9957. I know that we got some thoughts on the Oklahoma City Thunder, all the things going on with the NFL draft and Kyler Murray. Obviously, spring ball just around the corner. So fill them up. 460-9957, 460-WWLS. Call in and pick the brains of the Monsters of the Midday. We did have a breakthrough in my house yesterday, Mark, last night. Self-admittedly, my wife and I are very bad parents as it relates to eating. I've talked about this. I've thrown us under the bus before. We just never stick to our guns. We always cave. So we decided enough's enough, and we're not caving. So last night we didn't cave. And Lacey had made a dinner with some broccoli and rice, a little chicken. Well, initially, Mark, this wasn't good. I mean, this was like epic failure, meltdown city, you know, just awful. They couldn't imagine. They would rather, my sons kept telling me, I'd rather eat wood. I'd rather eat the counter than eat broccoli. I'm like, well, then eat wood.
I agree.
I don't want to tell you. You're eating the broccoli. It's just one small piece, Mark. I'm talking a tiny florette of broccoli. That's it. Okay?
Why didn't you douse that sucker with cheese?
She did. It had cheese. Wasn't good enough. So, you know, we go through dinner, and it's just, everybody's crying. Well, what I had done before dinner, though, I had to run some errands, and I had gotten some cookies. And I said, look, you can have a cookie if you eat your dinner, right? You know, I'm all about the
oldest trick in the book.
So, right, so they, you know, of course, they're like, oh, yeah, we'll eat our dinner until they got their dinner. So, you know, dinner goes on, we're past it, and they don't not going to eat their stuff. But then it's getting a little bit later, and they're like, man, I'm hungry, and I really want that cookie. So my six-year-old Hudson and my daughter Sloan, they came to their senses, and they sat down, and we got them to eat broccoli, Mark. It was, like, amazing.
How do they do it? Did they just like shove it in their mouth and swallow without chewing, or did they legitimately just give the broccoli a good try?
So, I mean, kind of Hudson, I watched him do it. Hudson just threw a little piece in. He's like, huh, that's not that bad. Next thing I know, I look over, little Sloan, she's stealing Hudson's broccoli, throwing it back. What does Hudson do? Sloan, don't steal my broccoli. He steals her broccoli. It was amazing, Mark. I went from, I've never been able to get my kids to eat broccoli in my, I mean, I've got three kids ranging from 9 to 2. Zero broccoli consumed in my family amongst those children. Then last night, it goes from I'll eat wood to my 2 and 6 year old are fighting over the broccoli. They like it so much. How about that? It was like one of the biggest parenting victories we've had in a long time. It was amazing. Now, the 9 year old, no such luck, but I think that if you get 2 out of 3, you declare victory as a parent. So we declared victory. I was even yelling in my best entourage voice, victory! I was that fired up in the house last night.
That's impressive. That's one of the best like sibling rivalry outcomes I've ever heard of.
It's incredible. They were fighting and yelling each other over eating each other's broccoli. And I just thought, I don't know what we've done, but man, this is quite possibly some of our best work.
Where was Jackson during all this?
He was in his room, trying to figure some things out, you know?
Did he have to eat the broccoli?
Well, no, because he didn't get a cookie. So, no, he didn't have to eat the broccoli.
To me, he's the big winner in all this.
Just went into, I don't need your influence, Mark. I'm trying to get my children to eat the things they need to nourish the body, okay? And as much as you and him love a good nugget, there's only so much nourishment that comes from nuggets and mac and cheese. So,
nourishment,
the day has come.
The taste buds.
I told her, you know, of course he declared that we were starving him and all that he's gonna report us. I mean, I can't even begin to start with things he was saying to try to get out of eating the broccoli. But I just told him that the doctor told us a long time ago that you will eat before you starve to death. Hey, our doctor told us a long time ago, don't worry, you're not going to starve your kid out. He'll eat. So I gave him the same line the doctor gave us. I said, look, man, I'm sorry you don't like it. I'm not asking you to eat a bunch of it. But if you want more food, you got to at least eat that. And your doctor told me, and your mom's a nurse, and the doctor's already given us permission to make you eat that because you're not going to starve yourself. So we'll see how it goes tonight. But as for last night, Mark,
you're having broccoli again tonight?
I don't know what what's on the menu, Mark. It doesn't matter, and that's what we told them. Don't even worry about it. Whatever's served, you just got to eat a little bit of it, and we can move on. So again, for night number one, 2 out of 3 victory in the Dvorak household. All right. Phone calls, we asked for them, we got them. We do have one open line, 460-9957, 460-WWLS. Let's go to Derek. Derek, thanks for the call. You're on the Monsters. Go ahead.
Hey, Dusty, how you doing?
Good, man. How are you?
Pretty good. Hey, I had a little tidbit. I actually have a 2-year-old named Harper Sloan.
Okay.
We go through the same stuff with the broccoli. She's a big unicorn lover, so what we did is take that low-fat spritz butter and turned it into unicorn spray. We put that on her vegetables, and she loves that. She goes crazy because she gets to eat it with unicorn spray. So maybe
that's
it works
fantastic.
For your girl. But I had talked to you a little bit about during the national championship about Creed Humphrey. We had tweeted back and forth about it.
Yeah.
But my question was, I'm an Oklahoma State fan. Do you see any guys on that roster with Coach Dickey that he could turn into like a Dalton Risner or a Cody Whitehair, somebody like that, that has that type of talent with the guys that Henson has brought in?
Yeah, let me who's all back next year? I'll have to look and see exactly who's graduating, who's coming back next year for Dickey.
Well, they got the kid out of Tuttle, Hunter Anthony, I believe is his name, and then a bunch of the young guys that he had brought in throughout the state, a kid from Sulphur. Anyway, I'm sure you can look it up and kind of pick through there. But
right.
I'll let you go. But just if you have time, just to look that up and kind of dive into that, I appreciate it.
Absolutely. I will just say before I, you know, kind of get into the personnel on Oklahoma State's roster, as I said yesterday, I really do like Dickey. And it wasn't just Dalton Risner. I mean, he's had a lot of good – Cody Whitehair was a second-round pick for the Bears a couple years ago, right, Mark? I think he started for 2 straight years there in Chicago. And, I mean, it just I've seen a lot of quality players. So as far as Oklahoma State's guys next year, Marcus Keys, he's back next year, is he not, Mark? I think he's a junior this year. I think Marcus Keys is back. I think Larry Williams is graduating, he's out.
They have more depth up there than they've had in the past. I mean, they did lose some players, but the numbers are up in terms of the players in the offensive line.
I like Marcus Keys. I like his physicality. I think that's going to translate well. I'll tell you what, man, I'll look into it a little bit better for some of the personnel and see exactly what Oklahoma State has. But I know Coach Henson's a really good coach, and I know Friday that was, you know, people were really upset that he had left. But, I mean, really good coaches, they get hired, and he got a nice pay raise. And he's got a great opportunity at Texas A&M, but I don't think that you should feel slighted if you're an Oklahoma State fan. And that's no knock on Coach Henson. I just think, for me, it's really, if you look at the track record and what Dickey's been able to do with less talent, in my opinion, right here in this league, it's been really impressive, Mark. And that's really an area, and it seemed maybe Josh was getting it turned around, but still, the last couple of years, that position group has been lackluster. I know he was turning it, but they really need to make strides in that department next year. Given a new quarterback, it's going to be in that situation. And I know you still have talented running backs, but to me, that's as much as anything going to help this offense, this offensive coordinator, this new quarterback, if they can get that group start playing a little bit higher level.
Tevin Jenkins, Johnny Wilson, a couple other guys that played some last season. So
what about was Johnny Wilson 72, Mark? I think Johnny Wilson?
Correct. Yep.
Okay. Well, guy that stands out to me the most would be Marcus Keys. I think he's a really good player. He's been a good player. He's played a lot of football for him for quite some time.
All right, 460-WWLS, 888-285-WWLS. We can get you in, and we can get you on immediately if you would like. Be happy to talk with you. So.
Unicorn spray is a good idea. Our biggest downfall.
That's pretty.
We gave up too soon. I just say stick with it, whatever you do. Just stick with it, man.
Stick with what? The unicorn spray?
No, just stick with making. Don't cave. I'm just saying. Don't cave. We cave too easy. So had we stuck with the unicorn spray or whatever it was back when my 9-year-old was 2, I would not be in the predicament I am 7 years later. Because I can assure you, it's a lot easier to train a 2-year-old than it is a 9-year-old.
Yeah, I think so. It only gets more difficult as they get a little older.
I know. That's why, you know, at some point I gotta dig my
Dude, when Jackson is valedictorian, he will stand up and he will say, "I'd like to thank my parents for putting me on the unlimited nugget diet because it turned me into the man I am today."
Come on. Well.
What?
No.
How can you be in a bad mood if you have unlimited nuggets?
I don't need any of this conjecture, okay? You're going completely against where we're trying to go in our household.
They're not
okay?
listening.
I know they're not, but I'm saying. We got good vibes and good mojo going right now.
Let's go to Matt. What's up, Matt?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good.
Hey, I was wondering if you guys had seen the play last night involving Bradley Beal where he essentially got away with taking
six steps.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, I just didn't know if you guys talked about it, and I just wanted to get y'all's thoughts on what's going on with the officiating. Why did they let these guys get away with some of those things?
Did you see in the Thunder game from Saturday night? I think it was Eric Gordon jumped with the basketball at the three-point line and came back down and looked around, and there's no whistle. I think he was as surprised as everyone else.
And then the other night with Kevin Durant getting away with the double-dribble.
That's the second time this year, remember?
Yeah.
Remember Kevin was out of bounds when he threw the ball back in for three steps, and they missed that one.
Yeah, these are potential game-changing calls. I mean, the Warriors practically won that game because of the double-dribble the other night. DeMarcus Cousins getting the rebound and hitting the free throws to basically win the game. I just was wondering y'all's thoughts on what's up with the officiating in the NBA. Why does this happen?
The NBA justified it.
I don't have a good answer.
Twitter account, they justify that. They don't like to call the walk very much. It's just not part of the game.
So that's James Harden, right? I mean, they want to
step these days.
They want to see these. They want to see these guys put up points and have offense. Like I said, everybody talks about defense. Nobody really wants defense. People want points. Let them just run around, take as many steps as you want. That was pretty ridiculous last night, though, with Bradley Beal, Mark. I don't know how you defend
that. Lost possession, retained possession, lost possession again. I mean, I don't know. It was a weird explanation for that. Yeah. I mean, they've had some huge gaffes. But I think in the NBA, they focus a lot on what the league sets out there for them to focus on. Clearly, traveling is not one of the issues. I mean, you know, they don't want people to put their hands on people on the perimeter. There's certain things that they look for, and I think that those refs do a pretty good job of handling that. But they've had some terrible missed calls this year on traveling. Terrible.
I'd say, you know what, kind of to your point that you just mentioned, I've seen more fouls on the perimeter than I've ever seen that I can remember. I mean, they are touchy out there on the perimeter with calling those three-point fouls.
No doubt.
They want to give those shooters space. I mean, the NBA is doing everything they can to give those guys out there as much space as possible.
Right. And the NBA is going pretty good right now. It's exciting. The scoring is way up. I think at the beginning of the year there were a lot of fouls called, and certainly at times there are going to be fouls called in certain games. But I think with that change, the changes that they've made has helped facilitate more offense. I don't think that – is there a team in the league that averages under 100 points a game? I don't think there is.
I don't think so.
So offense way up this year.
I would say maybe Utah. Is Utah one of the lower scoring teams in the NBA?
Everybody's averaging 100 at least.
It's a scoring league right now, Marcus. It is a scoring league right now.
I'm all for it.
Hey, man, people want to see the points. People love to see the offense. Yeah, absolutely. Okay, you want to talk to Jake Trotter, Mark?
Of course. We'd love to talk to Jake Trotter.
All right, well, let's bring in the Iron Man of the Sports Animal when we get back. I'm here today at a great place at Aquascape Pools here at Britton and Eastern in Oklahoma City. Man, they really do have an unbelievable showroom floor. They have everything they can do on display. It's not just pools. It can be the entire backyard, including decks, outdoor kitchens, landscaping, fireplaces, even fire pits, all on display right here. Call them today to schedule your appointment with one of their great designers. You can get your backyard dreams into action today. 359-0140 here at Aquascape Pools in Oklahoma City. We talk some Big 12 sports with Jake Trotter of ESPN.com next.
That sound
did not
bite.
Come
That's
as a little surprise.
Bit...
However, I want to give Dusty some credit here because you were very early in saying that this was the way to go for Kyler, the NFL. And I remember, I want to say like mid-October, we were debating this, and you know, I was thinking of the health concerns. I didn't know if he was going to be a high first-round pick necessarily at that point. And, you know, I kept sort of advocating the baseball side of it, but clearly you were right at the time, and you're right now, and this is the right move for Kyler Murray. You know, he has a chance to be a star in the NFL. Would it completely stun anybody if he becomes the number one overall pick? You know, by the way, his agent, Eric Burkhardt, is Cliff Kingsbury's agent, who's the new coach of the Arizona Cardinals, who have the number one overall pick. But he's going to be the number one pick, the number six pick to the Giants, number 13 to the Dolphins. The Redskins are at 15. I mean, a lot of teams need quarterbacks, and I think Kyler Murray is going to be no worse than number two off the board. He's going to make a ton of money, and instead of riding buses in the minor leagues for 3 years, at the end of which he might not have any success at the major league level anyway because he's so far behind in his development as a baseball player. He's going to be a star next year in the NFL. Could be a starting quarterback like Baker Mayfield by the end of the season, and would not stun me if he is very electric on the field in the NFL as well.
Well, unless he goes to a team with Hugh Jackson, then he should be okay. that soundbite though from Adam Schefter to me is it's bull. I mean, I think he signed a baseball contract because it was there. But I think he's always been committed to football. I wouldn't worry about his commitment to football if I'm an NFL franchise. Now,
not
if it doesn't
point.
Work out,
no.
I mean, he's going to go back. Maybe he goes back and plays baseball at some point in time. But if it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out for the franchise either. But I think this kid, the reason that it took him so long to say that he wasn't going to go play baseball wasn't because I think he got up every day and he was torn. It was just because the A's had put a lot of faith into him and a lot of stock into to drafting him that high. And it was tough for him to say, no, I'm not coming.
And part of it was he didn't know. When he was drafted in baseball, I mean, who's going to turn down, you know, $5 million? He didn't know what the football season was going to hold. You know, he struggled at A&M. You know, nobody knew he was going to be a first-round draft pick at that point, at least definitively, in the summer. And so you got to take what's in front of you. And that was an opportunity to be the ninth overall pick, to sign a baseball contract and move forward with a baseball career. But I agree with you, Mark. Clearly his first love has always been football. And I don't think that anybody who drafts him should worry that he might flirt with baseball. He is committed to football. Now, if he struggles, if he's like Johnny Manziel and it just doesn't work for him, he can always go play baseball. But I think initially he's going to be 100% dedicated to becoming a star quarterback in the NFL.
Yeah, I totally agree. We've kind of said that we don't see him getting past 10. What do you? I mean, obviously, we're all just guessing here, Jake. But do you think he gets past 10?
So, you got Arizona. Let's go through the teams. You got Arizona at 1. You have the Giants at 6. Anybody in between?
Oakland. I think Oakland at 4 is at least based off what people are out there saying, and even someone I talked to this morning seems to think that there's a real interest from John Gruden for Kyler Murray.
Can you imagine if you're a fan of the Oakland A's and the Oakland Raiders and they draft Kyler Murray and then he moves to Las Vegas, like you will have lost him twice, essentially?
That's
so you got the Raiders at 4, the Giants at 6, anybody between the Giants. You know, I saw the Detroit Lions might be interested in taking a quarterback today. I saw that report out there. And they're drafting in the top 10 as well. I think 8th or something.
Oh, I think 7. You've missed the Jacksonville Jaguars at 7. Definitely need a quarterback. And I would be very surprised if Kyler Murray's on the board at 7 if they wouldn't take him there.
Yeah, Bortles has been a complete disappointment. You know what? I need to get, like, I don't have, like, the draft order.
I got it right here. Yeah. It's Arizona at 1. We're saying that's a possibility. San Fran at 2 is not. Jets at 3 is not.
Nope.
Oakland at 4, I say is.
What about Tampa Bay?
No,
Tampa's
not.
At 5. I'm going to say
yeah,
no.
Yeah, they can't take a quarterback, right? I mean,
they just gave Jameis the extra year. You know, they have that opt-in, the team option. They picked that option up. They're going to pay him $20 million next year. I think New York Giants at 6, yes. I
For
think
sure
they,
yes.
I mean, they got to be thinking quarterback, whether it's Haskins or Murray.
Yep,
seven, absolutely. I'd say the same for the Jacksonville Jaguars. I mean, they need a quarterback. I would say then it goes eight, Detroit. You said I would say no for Detroit, but I don't know. Nine, the Bills. They just took a quarterback last year. I would say no. Denver at 10, I would say yes.
Yes. So I saw there was a line that came out of Vegas today that set
That's
the over-under.
Five teams
under,
in the top 10, by the way, that we just said yes to.
They set the over-under of where Kyler will go at 9.5, so the 9th-and-a-half pick. Would you guys take the over or the under on that?
I'm going to say under.
I take the under because I think the question here is there a quarterback that would go ahead of him other than Haskins? He may go ahead of Haskins. But for a quarterback to be drafted, there's going to be two quarterbacks. There's too many teams that need quarterbacks not to draft two quarterbacks in the top 10.
It's a terrible quarterback draft, by the way.
Yeah, because there's a wide margin between those two and Daniel Jones, Will Greer, and Drew Locke, because that's your next three. I think there's a pretty big gap between the top two and the rest.
Yeah, and those guys might not be first-round picks.
Correct.
You know, usually teams will talk themselves into quarterbacks, so we always say there's only going to be one or two, and then it'll be in three or four. But it's not like last year where you had Baker, you had Rosen, you had Darnold, you had Josh Allen. I mean, there were four basically potential top 10 quarterbacks. That isn't the case this year. There are only two, and I don't think there's going to be a third that talks his way into the top 10 through the combine. So, and then even if you go past Denver, I mean, you've got the Dolphins at 13. I assume the Bengals are not going to draft the quarterback. I mean, they do have Andy Dalton. And the Redskins at 15. So I would say I would be stunned if he falls below 15. You guys agree?
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, at this point, I don't even say it gets past 10, but yes. And what I would say, I think the Redskins and Dolphins are players. I just don't think they're players at 13 and 15. I think that don't be surprised if we see somebody move up.
Right. And so if you're Kyler Murray, that's what you're waiting to kind of shake out before you made this declaration. Like, he was always going to play football, but he had a card to play, and he wasn't going to play too soon. You know, he wanted to make sure that this was, you know, he's got an agent now. His agent's talking to teams. Yeah, you know, we're interested in Kyler here, there, and the other. So I think he has a pretty good sense that I'm going to go, you know, like you guys said, probably in the top 10, no worse than 15. And in that case, it just makes too much sense for him to roll the dice with football instead of, again, going to Beloit and, you know, playing minor league baseball.
What did you think of Josh Henson leaving for Texas A&M?
Well, not surprising. You know, he obviously wanted the offensive coordinator job at Oklahoma State. They went a different direction. You know, and then, you know, he had an opportunity to I assume he's going to make good money at Texas A&M. You know, you don't want to lose a guy like that. But I thought Gundy made a pretty shrewd replacement hire in getting Dickey from Kansas State. You know, last year was kind of an exception to some degree. But, you know, Kansas State has had pretty good offensive lines year in, year out. That was Bill Snyder's, you know, offensive line coach for a long time. So, I think it's hard to make hires in February, and I thought he did a pretty good job filling that position quickly. And, I mean, listen, you know, I think Henson has recruited well, but it's pretty evident the offensive line really hasn't gotten any better, right, the last couple of years. You know, part of that is talent, but they're about the same where they've been, which is kind of mediocre. And, you know, you don't want to have a fifth offensive line coach in 7 years, but I think they brought in a guy that has a pretty good reputation of developing and putting together above average to really good offensive lines.
Technically sound, tough, physical. When I've watched Kansas State's tape last several years, that's what I see. I really like the hire of Charlie Dickey.
Yep.
We had asked you last week about Texas at that point. I do not think we've talked to you since Pichel went to SMU. What did you think of that move? And I'm just kind of wondering, maybe, you know, with Sam Ehlinger and the amount of hits he's taken the last couple of years, if there is a question mark at backup, does that change at all the way Tom Herman calls plays and the amount of physicality that's the toll that maybe be taken upon Sam?
Well, Shane Bichelle's waiting to see if anything else popped up. Nothing did. You know, Texas quarterbacks have gone to SMU before, you know, a la Garrett Gilbert, and have done well. you know, they have an obvious void there with Ben Hicks going to Arkansas. So it makes a lot of sense for Bushell, and I think he'll do well there. I mean, he was in terms of backup quarterbacks across college football last year, you know, he was up there. And so I think he's very capable, and, you know, he's not a superstar or anything. But in that conference, I think he'll put up some big numbers because he can throw the deep ball very well. You look at Texas and Ellinger, and Tom Herman has always wanted to run the quarterback, but they've had to do it more because they've had no running game otherwise whatsoever. And it's imperative that Texas, and it starts with the offensive line, but they've got to be more dynamic at running back. You know, they just haven't been very dynamic at running back since they had Deontay Foreman and won the Doak Walker in 2016. So, you know, Herman has thrown out the idea of taking a grad transfer running back again. I don't know if that's the answer. You know, Keontae Ingram was their superstar freshman recruit. You know, was kind of up and down and, you know, had some moments, but I'm not sold that he's their running back in the future either. They've got to get a supplemental running game other than Ellinger taking hits. And listen, he can control football games doing that. We saw in the Red River Showdown that, you know, he can be very difficult to deal with because he moves the chains running the ball. But you do not want that guy, especially now with backup questions, you know, taking 30 hits a game. So they've got to get some other running game to take the pressure off them. It doesn't have to be, you know, they don't need a 1,500-yard running back, but they need somebody who you have to respect, and they just have not had that guy since Tom Herman has been there. I don't know who that's going to be. I don't see any obvious answers. They have a lot of options. But they've got to figure out the running game. It's not been good.
Are you going to cover any basketball? Going to be going to Tulsa again?
I'm going to Tulsa for the NCAA regional. We're not going to have any NCAA tournament from the state of Oklahoma, I don't believe. You know, I really haven't done any Kansas stuff. We've had some other people do that, and, you know, quite frankly, they haven't been that good. So I have not gotten any basketball assignments, and so again, just kind of waiting for spring ball to crank up. We're going to have the, you know, OU's Pro Day March 13th. I'm sure will be fascinating. The combine coming up here in a few days will be fascinating with Kyler now that he's definitely going to be there. And, you know, Oklahoma State with Spencer Sanders is going to be fascinating. And then OU with Jalen Hurts. So we're going to have a ton of college football and college sports storylines in the state of Oklahoma once things start cranking back up again.
Don't forget about Alex Grinch and that new-look defense. I think that'll be as anticipated to get a look at for fans around here as Jalen Hurts.
What are you going to look for in the spring? I mean, like, it's always hard to tell. You know, we thought, you know, for example, Buki was going to be a superstar. Sure. But it was more on based on what we heard than what we saw. I always think it's hard with defense in the spring kind of evaluating. What are you going to be looking for?
Let me chime in before Dusty go. We'll ratchet up the opinion here. I think that it's got to be pass rush, right? They had none of it last year. Are they going to have somebody that can do it this year?
Yeah, I don't know the answer to that. It's like with Texas in the running game. You tell me.
I mean, you know, there's only so much you can really take from the spring game. But what do I want to see? I want to see guys getting up the field, penetrating, creating disruption. I want to see, like Mark said, pressure on the quarterback. Because disruption, pressure, that's a good indicator of getting takeaways. You know, I don't know how much pressure stuff we'll see. Alex Grinch likes to bring a lot of pressure in a spring game setting. Will we see him utilize all that? I don't know. But I just want to see guys playing on the other side of the football, because I don't think we've seen a whole lot of that. And obviously, as much as Aledum tackling, I think the tackling has been atrocious for –
It has.
Several
I want to see them. I want to see them make some plays, and they started to do that late in the year. Remember West Virginia, the strip and scores, the safety on the cornerback blitz against Texas. Up until that point, like, it didn't seem like the defense was just making any plays. And if you are going to be a defensive coordinator or defense playing alongside as a, you know, complementing an air raid offense that's going to put up a ton of points, you have got to force some turnovers and make some plays. So I'd like to see them, you know, make some plays in scrimmage situations. I think that would be a good sign for the fall.
I also think just overall how the secondary plays. You know, what do they look like? Fundamentally, are they better? Are they in better position? Kind of like you say, Jake, are they making plays on the ball? Because that's, you know, been another area where It's been few and far between with consistent play, making plays on the football. So I think there'll be a lot to look for in that regard, to say the least. Real quickly on OSU, you said Spencer Sanders. Is it? Do you feel 100% that he's going to be the guy, or does Drew Brown have a chance to win that job?
No, I don't think it's 100%. I mean, I think they want him to win the job. And, you know, I think he's got a lot of talent. You know, for him, it's going to be mental. You know, the intangibles, putting all of that together, that was something that they wanted to see more of. You know, when he first arrived, you know, in terms of throwing a spiral, I mean, he can do that about as well as anybody they've had there in a while. You know, he's got some athleticism as well. So, being a leader, you know, and making good decisions and reading defenses and making the right calls, are they going to be key for him? But, you know, Drew Brown, I think, has, you know, shown that he can quarterback an FBS, you know, caliber offense. And if Spencer Sanders, for whatever reason, doesn't develop enough, then I think they'll go to Drew Brown. But to me, if Oklahoma State is going to realize its potential next year, and I think they've got a lot of upside with the offensive playmakers that they're going to be bringing back, for them to realize their potential, I think Spencer Sanders has got to be the guy. I think it's going to be like this past season if it's Drew Brown, where they're just going to be a little bit limited. You know, Sanders has the potential to be a difference maker in a way that Taylor Cornelius or Drew Brown, you know, were not.
Very good stuff. Get out of here.
Okay, boys. See you later.
Thanks, later. Jake. Yeah, spring football is going to be a lot of question marks. Not a question. I mean, a lot of things I think a lot of people want to see in both schools, primarily quarterback spots, definitely defensively, and Norman. And, you know, I would even say offensive line both places, because not that I question will Oklahoma have a good offensive line, but they lose four starters to the National Football League, new offensive line coach coming in Stillwater, and that's a position group that – you know, really, if you look across the board at Oklahoma State, they've had good play at a lot of positions, but offensive line, they need to pick it up in that regard. I'm at Aquascape Pools today right here at the corner of Britton and Eastern. Give them a call at 359-0140. The retail store here is open Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Can help you with your pool needs. You just come by to see the pools and be inspired. Also, check out their great website, aquascapeokc.com. It's Aquascape Pools, Britton and Eastern here in Oklahoma. Big win, and especially as relates to that Big 12 race. Can they make it 15 straight Big 12 championship? Kansas State sits atop the Big 12 leaderboard, and they are on the road tonight, Mark. If K-State wins tonight, you and I talked about this earlier, they won't guarantee themselves a Big 12 title, but you start to look at it, they will have themselves in a very comfortable position down the stretch. If they lose tonight, they clearly open the door for Kansas. Big game down in Austin. Texas, a three-point favorite, Mark.
I'm not surprised that Kansas went to TCU and won last night. You know, Dodson, Lawson, those guys are as good as any players in the league. Lawson has a lot of experience at Memphis. Dodson's a freshman, but Kansas freshmen usually are better than everybody else's freshmen. Tonight, you're right, Texas destroyed Kansas State in Manhattan the first game of the year. So there's a little bit of revenge going on here tonight. Texas has got a lot. I like Texas's team. They're pretty good inside. They can be physical with you. They've got some experienced guards. But I don't know. I would think that K-State going to be playing without Cartier DR for the rest of the year. Tonight, I would probably lean towards Texas to win the game against K-State in the Superdrome. But that home court advantage hasn't been great for UT this year.
I mean, K-State's kind of won some big games on the road, right?
Yeah, and, you know, people just – college basketball for that size of an arena, it's not usually very full. I mean, even though they have – what's the Minister of Spirit? What's McConaughey's name?
What's he is the Minister of – what was it? What did I say? I'll look it up. Go ahead. He'll be in his orange suit.
He should be there tonight. I don't know if he's there at every game, if that's what the role entails. But I think Texas will win tonight, and I think we'll have a little bit of a race. It should be interesting down the stretch with KU and K-State.
He is the Minister of Culture, Mark.
Culture. Minister of Culture.
Yes.
I like it.
Yeah, it's good stuff. I like Kansas State tonight. Call me crazy. I hate the DRs out, but, man, they – until somebody beats Kansas State, I'm going to keep taking them. Undefeated in Big 12 play since Dean Wade has come back. I like those two seniors, Barry Brown Jr. and Dean Wade. They can D you up, and defense, it travels well at any level of basketball. Also tonight, Mark, the Cowboys, they've lost six straight Big 12 games. They got Texas Tech coming to Stillwater tonight. Can the Cowboys get a win?
No. No, they cannot. They'll play well. Dang. I mean, they play hard. They might hit some shots, but no, Tech's going to win that game tonight.
Yeah, I would. Sorry, that's not tonight. That's tomorrow night. How about Wednesday?
Not it is tonight. Wednesday night.
It's Wednesday. I'm sorry. Tuesday, Wednesday. That game's not until tomorrow, but I would probably tend to agree. It's probably going to be pretty tough for Oklahoma State. Man, they just don't have the depth. They've shot the three ball really well this year, Mark.
Right.
But other than that, it's been few and far between.
That's basketball in the state is very depressing. Very depressing,
yeah,
man.
I don't want to end on a depressing note. My apologies. I already butchered the fact that OSU don't play till tomorrow night. We don't have to dig into some of the deficiencies on the team. Anything else in the NBA pique your interest tonight? We got any good matchups?
Jazz Warriors tonight. I'll watch some of that. Which
late again, game on TNT? I think Celtics 76ers would be intriguing.
No Kyrie Irving, so I think that Philly wins that one. But the Celtics, you never know. Celtics got enough to kind of surprise you. They got it done with their depth and some of their reserves last year.
I was looking at some stats earlier in real plus minus. I found some couple of interesting things that I thought pretty cool. Real plus minus 1 and 2 by a wide margin. James Harden, Paul George. Paul George slightly behind James Harden. Win shares, both 1-2 as well, and Paul George slightly ahead of James Harden. But I was just kind of sneaking my way down, Mark. Do you know who's number 19 in the NBA in real plus minus?
Number 19 in real plus minus.
In the entire NBA.
Okay, number 19. It's not Russell.
No. Russell's down to like 38 this year.
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to guess that it is Steven Adams.
No, Mark. No. That'd be Jimmy Butler. The man you can't stand. 19th.
Where's Steven Adams? Is he higher than Jimmy Butler?
Steven Adams? No. No. Steven Adams not in the top 40.
Well, dang it.
Jimmy Butler, 394. The only other player on Philly ahead of him, Joel Embiid, 14th in the NBA. I'm just saying, I only point that out to say, I think Jimmy Butler's a little bit better than you give him credit for.
Yeah. Well, I just like him better when he was Jimmy Butler underdog than Jimmy Butler diva.
I got you. Well, we'll see if Jimmy Butler diva, Joel Embiid, Ben Simmons, Tobias Harris, if they can get a win tonight against Boston without Kyrie Irving. I know this. I like it for the simple fact that the East is interesting. The Eastern Conference playoffs are going to be compelling and outstanding to watch. And it's been a while since we can legitimately say that's been the case. Here at Aquascape Pools today, great place. And it's that time of year, ladies and gentlemen. It's starting to get warm outside. We got to start thinking towards summer to getting into your pool. If you don't have a pool yet, call 359-0140 to schedule your appointment with one of their designers. Going to get your backyard dreams into action. And don't just install pools. It's the entire backyard, including decks, outdoor kitchens, landscaping, fireplaces, even fire pits, all on display right here. Beautiful showroom floor at Aquascape Pools, Eastern and Britain. Give them a call, 359-0140. We got an action-packed show tomorrow. Adam Amin's going to join us. Doug Gottlieb's going to join us. Royce Young. You don't want to miss that. You don't want to change the dial. Keep it right here on the Leader in Sports 98.1.